Kodem kol, just a little Pesach b'chvoid achsanya. I've gotten to know some of the name Mishpachas Eichenstein, and it's a very impressive thing to me. They're all very, I would say, princes. All Anoshim Ramim Me'am, and it's a very nice thing that you have over here in many areas of the world. The leadership of this very Choshev family. I just want to thank my friend Rabbi Neil, who's very nice, puts me up. I want to talk a little bit about, I think that the title was Halacha with a little more gefil, humanism. So I would start with some Gemaras, maybe some Musavim and Havanas and Gemaras, and then go into practical applications. The emphasis is that, really, to start with, it would be good to start from Psukim. A Navi, during Bayis Rishon, had a very difficult job. As the Bayis was dwindling, and the Kodim looked like it was imminent, the Navi was challenged with trying to get a message to a recalcitrant nation about different things that are going to be very bad. And the Navi used to have to be the Dmus of his Nevuah. We know Yirmiyah walked with Moites, Eitz, then Barzel. We know Yeshaya walked for 2 years without any clothes. Ora and Yochef. These were very complicated Nevuahs. In the beginning of Yecheskel, there's a few descriptions of some of Yecheskel's practical Nevuahs. The Navi was not only someone that would say over what's going to happen, but he was a Mamchish. He was actually a visual aid to show Klaus for what exactly it was going to look like. So Yecheskel is told, in the beginning of Sefer Yecheskel, first he's told, tremendous encouragement. Go, do what you're supposed to do. Warn the way you're supposed to warn, and understand that if you don't, you'll be punished. But if you do warn, nafshecha yitzalcha. Then he's told, kach levena, take a brick. V'nasata oisa lefonecha, put it in front of you. It's a small brick. V'chakoisa aleh eshiras Yerushalayim. Scratch out, sort of like a visual model of the city, which is going to be Yerushalayim. And he says, V'nasata ala motzer, put an encirclement around it. U'vanisa ala doyek, and put a tower that looks like it's going to be a watchtower, a battle tower, that's going to be facing the brick. V'shafachta ala seilela, and you'll throw some dirt on it to make it look like it's an engulfed and encamped village. He says, and then you should put korin, put many different things around it to show Klal Yisrael what the future is. And then he says, take a sir barzel, take a metal skillet, flat metal skillet, and put it between you and between the brick. And v'shachafta al tzidecha asmoni, you're going to lie on your left side, and you're going to face the brick, which is now Yerushalayim. And kaviyochol, Yecheskel is going to be the manifestation of the Hashgacha. It's an unbelievable, even though he's going to be very humiliated over here, and he's going to work very hard for this Nevuah, but he's going to also be the manifestation of Kutcher Bricha, which is an unbelievable hesed. That's why to me it makes sense when you hear the Lashon Ra'asa Shivcha Layam Ashalei Roy Yecheskel Ben Buzi. Everybody jumps for the Maisa Merkava. But there's more than just the Maisa Merkava. There's also the fact that he embodied the Hashgacha Elyon over here. And you'll lie on your left side for 390 days. V'nasati alacha voices. I'll put on you ropes. Okay, the Mefarshim say it's metaphoric ropes. But you won't be able to move. You're going to be facing the brick. There's going to be a Hashgacha that's watching. Are they going to do tshuva? Are they not going to do tshuva? Then there's an attention to the type of bread and water that he's going to drink and he's going to eat. And to the amounts. Some of you are familiar with the concept of Ezekiel bread. This is a bread that diet is frequent, which is made out of lentils, beans, sprouted wheat, and sprouted spelt, and it's put together in a mush, and supposedly it's healthy because it's biblical. But Yecheskel wasn't being treated to healthy bread. He was being treated to very horrible bread. And he was going to eat it the mishkal, the misuri. He was going to eat it slow. He's not being treated to good stuff. And it says, the Rabban Shalom specifically tells him how to bake it, how to eat it. He says, Ugas sa'orim techalena. eat it in like a mushy mound. V'hi begelelet soyas adam togen. And they used to cook with fuel like we do, and their fuel was generally made out of the fecal matter of goats and cows, which have methane in it, and allow for a flammability. But in this case, the Rabbanu Shalom wanted him to take specifically tsoyas adam, human waste, which also has a flammability, but it's much more disgusting. It's hard to mine, and it's a very putrid, it's a putrid fuel. But just think for a second, you're a Navi that has direct access to Kutcha Brichu. And each person, every individual, the Ikka Mechuvin of our life is probably to understand what the Ratzon HaBorei is and to exercise it to the best of our ability. If the Rabbeinu Shalom would tell any of us that he wants specific things from us and we'd be certain that it's not just the psychosis, we would do it and we would be very happy and we'd feel very lucky. So here you have Yecheskel is being told by the Rabbeinu Shalom, he's being spelled out the next year and change of his life with very clear exactitude. And at the point when the Rabbeinu Shalom tells him that Mitzoyas Adam Teugena Le'enehem, I want you to bake this bread in Mitzoyas Adam, Yecheskel loses it. He says, Bo'oima, Aho Hashem Elokim. Aho is always is an expression of deep pain. Aho Hashem Elokim. Hinei nafshi lo yetumo. My soul was never impure. Unevelo utreifa lo yochalti mineurai vadota. I never ate any nevelo utreifa from my youth till now. Ubisar pig, velebobifi bisar pigul. I never ate any pigul. How are you asking me to do this? Yecheskel challenges the Rabbeinu Shalom. He says, I can't do this. I can't. But he's not saying it's disgusting, I won't do it. He's not saying you're coming betrunya. He's not saying the child. He's saying, I can't do this. It looks like what he's saying is, my frumkeit, my understanding of Torah doesn't allow me to do this, which is a pella. How's it shayach? Your understanding of Torah is all kosher and koruch to the nois and haTorah, who decided what it should be, and he wants you to do this. He wants v'hi begelel leitzoyas adam togena. What's the ability that Yecheskel has to turn to the Rabbeinu Shalom and say, no, I can't do it. And not only that, the Rabbeinu Shalom relents. Hinei nosati l'cho esviyei abokar tachas tsoyas adam. I'll exchange it. The Rabbeinu Shalom relents then and says, I'll exchange it. Now, in a different venue and in a different discussion, maybe what we would say over here is, what I'm sure some of you are thinking, is that adarabah, this was the Rabbeinu Shalom showing Yecheskel that nothing is immutable. The gzeira is changeable, and if Klal Yisrael davened, just like you just reacted, it would be an amazing thing, and they could change the trajectory of this horrible korban. So it could be that's also part of the binyan hanevuah. But what we want to say, for the purpose of our discussion, is that Yecheskel was really telling the Rabbeinu Shalom that his limud haTorah and his sugyas and his work in the sugyas of kedusha and tahara, they brought him to this understanding that this is also for him. And he's asking the Rabbeinu Shalom, he says, you want me to do this? I can't do this. My Torah already established. And the truth is that the Gemara and Chulin, two places, bring down, Hinei nafshi lo yetumah. We learn dinim from these psukim. Nafshi lo yetumah, shelo yirharti bayoyim, ubasim l'day tumah b'layla. I didn't think about anything during the day, and I didn't become impure at night. And it says, Inovelu utreva lo yachalti min urei v'adota, shelo yachalti min behema misukenis. I never ate from an animal that was dangerously ill. The dinim are not complicated because it just means a behemah she'eino yachol lamed al ragleo. But it is brought down in Shulchan Aruch. I think in Siman Yud Gimel it's brought down that in order to this din is brought down in Shulchan Aruch. The Shach says that stuff if it's owned by an eino yehudi, so then there's no hefsid. But if it's owned by a yehudi, there's a hefsid mamon. Maybe we don't have to be machmir on this din. The next din is when he says, "Ubasar pigul velebala fi basar pigul." That the Gemara says is shalechalti nebehema shahira b'chacham. Never, I never ate anything that had a shayla. Even if the chacham paskin letoyv and there was a psak that was good, I never ate anything that had a shayla. I stayed away from shaylas. This is brought down in the Ramon, the end of Kufte Zayin. So, be'etzem, these are dinim that Yecheskel sort of cultivated in his understanding of the sugyas of Kedusha and Tahara. in his understanding of precious from Macholis Asuras. And if that's the case, he's telling the Rabban Shalom, I have a problem with Tzoya Sodom. He's not saying it's disgusting to me. He says, I have a problem with Tzoya Sodom. And the Rabban Shalom says, okay, I'm asking. Why? Because we have to understand the Gemara tells us, Amar Rab Hanin, Amar Rab Zeira, that Boyu Re'esha Loi Kemidas Basav Adam Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Rabban Shalom and humans are different. How is that? The Gemara tells us, Odom Moicha Chepetz L'Chaveiru. If you sell something under duress, a car, a house, a hat, whatever it is. So the Moicher is Otzev, and the Lekeach is Sameach. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ainu Kein. He gives Klal Yisrael the Torah, his Torah, and he's happy that he gave us the Torah. Now I ask you, when you write a book and somebody reads it, you didn't give him the rights to the book, you didn't give him the book, you gave him the ability to be Nehenev from what you did. Why should the Meicher in such a case be Otzev? And the answer is that no, the Rabban Shalom gave us the Torah. Lasez boy, kibishalami. We do with it as if it's ours, it's mamish our Torah. And to just point this nekuda out a drop more, as I recall reading a story about a person who came in front of the Shagas Aryeh, and he was coughing something awful. And he had a report from a local doctor that he wouldn't survive because this cough is some sort of a lung nodule. I don't know how they knew it then. There was no MRIs, it was all clinical. But the doctor told him it's a lung nodule. And the Shagas Aryeh thought for a second, and he told him to move to Eretz Yisrael. To move to Eretz Yisrael. He didn't understand the Shagas Aryeh's advice, but he listened. The Rebbe says, you go, you move to Eretz Yisrael. And a few years later, he came back and he wanted to understand. He was alive, he was well, he wanted to understand what the advice was about. And the Shagas Aryeh was Masbet, and he says, here, where we are, we passing like the Ramah. This nodule on the lung is a trefa. It's impossible for you to live. The Torah is going to be nikva by the Pesach of the Ramon. Eretz Yisrael, the Beis Yosef is the Mara Da'ara de Yisrael. They paskin like him over there. If you go there, you'll survive. And he survived. This is the Hezbro over here. The Menshlam Sameach by giving it over to Klal Yisrael. He gave it over to Klal Yisrael. And the truth is, this idea is, to me, it's sent home beautifully in the Gemara in Bav Metzia. Some of the Gemaras I'm saying over are very famous. Pardon me if I just repeat back and forth. Some biurim or nekudis in it that maybe are not as famous. But I'll just explain. The Gemara brings down that there was a maisa with Rabbi Lezer and the Chachmei Yisrael and the demotion of Rabbi Lezer. Not some demotion, but Rabbi Lezer was put in cherim. Leisayim beruchuhu. It was very tragic. It was a machlekes over tanur shelachnoi, which was a type of tanur that was made out of rungs. Neshayla was tumentara oisayem eviyus kolat taharas or Rabbi Lezer b'sarfu. And the problem basically was, even though Rabbi Lezer agodl was probably the godl ador, but the problem was is that he wasn't being noches to the ruba. There was a roiv minyan ubinyan that was saying not like him, and he wasn't following the roiv. And that wasn't acceptable. Now, I ask you, Torah is Torah. The reality is the reality. Even if one person comes with an idea and he's right, what is the difference if there's a roiv? No, but the Torah says that's how the Rabban Shalom wanted it to be nikba. It was going to be nikba, but a roiv. So it says that Rabbi Lezer said, the malacha kemoisi charuv teichiach. Let there was a buxa tree, a carob tree outside of the Beis Medrash. He says, if the halacha is like me, let this buxa tree prove. It says, and the buxa tree uprooted itself and moved 500 amma. It's a tremendous nest. Anybody looking at it would be tremendously despoiled. And they all got together and they said, Ein halacha kecharuv. The buxa tree didn't go to bris. He doesn't know how to paskin. Mechateisa, we're going to follow him. Amma samayim techiach. The chosra amma samayim lachareo. Ein halacha kama samayim. We're not despoiled from a buxa svara. We're not despoiled from amma samayim svara. Then he said, Koisle beis hamedrash echichu. So it says that Yischilu Koisle beis hamedrash matim. The walls started caving in. They started becoming a dome. And it says, Gar b'hem Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua got angry at the walls. He says, Im talmidei chachamim menatzchem zeh zeh ba'alocha. Atem mativchem. What's your involvement? If talmidei chachamim are talking, you're going to get involved. You walls are going to have what to say. And it says that Leinatu Mishum Kvoidish Rabbi Shmuel Leomdu Mishum Kvoidish Rabbi Lezer Vadayin Hemutim Vaimdim. Some of that's the Hezbollah, why every shul, big shuls, have domes. Vadayin Hemutim Vaimdim. They're like that till today. Now, the point is, and then it says in Malach Kemoisi, the Basco comes out and says, Malach Hametzel Rabbi Lezer Shalach Kemoisi B'chol Mokim. Now it's the Rabbi Shlomo B'chvoidu Ba'atzmei announcing, leave him alone, he's right. And they say, no, Ein Halacha Gebasta, Leiba Shemayim. And I just always said a pshat over here, that Rabbi Lezer, if you want to understand it, mamish, the way it happened, okay, but it's also shayach that Rabbi Lezer was being Moisef Nekudis over here. Everybody knows that Chilas Limudish or Rabbi Lezer was a tremendous doicha. He was learning disabled till he was 28. If you think about it, it always gives me a tremendous... Chizik. You could start whenever and become Rabbi Lezer Agadol. He was learning disabled till he was 28. His father didn't want him to sit over any sefer because he wasn't shy after it. But he had a cheshek. In the beginning of Perek, Rabbi Lezer talks about how his cheshek developed and how many times he cried. I think it's 12 times he cried until he finally was able to escape his father. He didn't go with his father's blessing. His father was the richest man of that region in that kufa. He left without his father's bracha, went to Rabbi Yechonon ben Zakkai, and became Rabbi Lezer Agadol. So when he says, Kav charuvim yechichu, Kav charuvim yechiach, charuvim yechiach, what he's referring to is the dachkus that he had to endure in order to become the person that he is. This is not Torah that just came with luxus. This is Torah that came with tremendous doichak. He's saying, I have much more than I'm bringing to the table over here than your amida leminyan and your roiv binyan. I'm coming over here with a tremendous amount of rotzim. And they say, no, it's good, but it's ein halacha kecharuvim. And he says, amas amayim teichiach, is the Gemara in Sukkah tells us that Rabbi Lezer never said anything shaleishoma mirabbeisav. He was the champion of the Messiah. When he learned from a Rebbe like Rabbi Yechonon ben Zakkai, he was medaktik and mahader to say everything exactly like what he heard from Rabbi Yechonon ben Zakkai. So you're talking about a link in the chain of the Mesorah, which is so perfect, which is so defined. So he says, Rabbi Yisai, you want Roiv? I'm telling you, Emes. Amas Amayim Techiach, the water that's coming from a high place to a low place. I'm that water. I'm that body of water. And they say, no, it's Roiv. Achrei Rabbi Mahatis. This is what the Rabbi Yishleilam wants. And then he says, Kois Leibes HaMedr Sheikhich, the same Gemara, in Sukkah tells us that Rabbi Lezer was always the first. He was always the last. He never left anybody there. There was midas that were tremendous. Midasim shel Rabbi Lezer trumiyas. They were above and beyond. He had attention to every individual in detail, large, small. He says, I'm the person. The halacha is like me. And the Basco comes out and says, Malachem etzel Rabbi Lezer, shalach kamayisim b'chol makom. No, we don't pay attention to that. We don't pay attention to that. And the Gemara says, Ashkecher Rav Nosson Elio. At that point, by Ishaita, Rav Nosson found Elio Anovi. And he asked him, by Ishaita, my Kovic Kucha Brief, what's the Rabbi Shalom doing now? When this machlokes is occurring, and his will is being defied, the Ratzon HaVayre is trying to somehow spill itself all over the Beis HaMedrash in many different ways. Whether it's through an intellectual battle, like I'm explaining it, or it's mamish, the practical understanding of charuvim and mayim and koisle beis hamedrash. But what's the Rabbeinu Shlomo doing? What does the Rabbeinu Shlomo feel? What's he doing? Feel is not a word, but what's the Rabbeinu Shlomo doing? He says, kachadi kuchabrichu. He's happy. Tesis wants to know, there's no, Rabbeinu Shlomo never laughs. Kachadi kuchabrichu. Rabbeinu Shlomo is laughing. And he says, nitzchuni banai, nitzchuni banai. They beat me. They beat me. It's an unbelievable Gemara. Nitzchuni bonai. I think I saw once a Maratz Chayis, and if he doesn't say it, someone says it's not mine, but Nitzchuni doesn't mean they beat me. Nitzchuni, they turned me into Nitzchias. They made me a forever Torah. The Torah is now immutable, it's not budgeable. You see that they understand that it doesn't matter what comes in, what Svara gets blown in, what kind of unbelievable lightning strikes. It makes no difference. They turned me into Netzach Netzachim. The Rebbein Shalom is very happy. This is the Ratzon HaBayre. It is the gift that he gave us, which is ours, to do with it how we feel we're supposed to do, as long as we conform to the rules and regulations that were set for us
by the Rebbeinu Shlomo, Moshe Rabbeinu, and the whole Shalshalas and Seir. But this is our Torah, to do with it as we're supposed to do with it. Not as we feel, but as we're supposed to do with it. And it's interesting that in the 1500s, there was the Maral and his brother. Maral had an older brother, Rav Chaim ben Bezalel of Friedberg. He's not as known as the Maral, but some know him. He wrote many sefarim. He wrote Gera Satil, Sefer Chaim, Zemusa Sefer. He wrote a sefer called Vikuach Mayim Chaim. He was a friend of the Ramaz, and then he had some sort of a period halev with the Ramaz. Both the Maral and his brother objected to the Sifrei HaKitzurim. They did not like the Beis Yosef, the Shulchan Aruch, and they certainly did not like the Ramah. The Maral writes strongly against the Shulchan Aruch. He calls it a Sefer HaKitzur, which seems to take away a lot of work and makes people poisk him out of nowhere and nothing. Similar today, if you would want an example, there's a sefer that came out, it's called Piskei Tshuvas. Maybe some of you have seen it from somebody named Rabinovitz. It's on everything except for Erevin. And anybody could become a Talmud Chacham. It's not so complicated. You just have to know how to look it up. And you could find Kimat every Shaila there. And you look on top and on bottom. And you could say even who the Paiskim that are Machmer are, who the ones that are Mekel are. You don't have to know any Rayas. You could talk mamish like someone who went through the sugya. He did it for you, and he somewhat distilled it in a way that anybody. So the difference is not always so nicker, unless you're a Talmud Chacham. The difference between someone who read Piskei Tshuvas and someone who actually learned the Tshuvas is not so nicker. Okay, we're used to it. We've had hundreds of years of Sfarim that are written in every mitzvah and every which way. And it doesn't bother us. Other rabbi, we're happy when somebody learns Piskei Tshuvas. But back then, the objection was tremendous. The Maral and his brother objected to the... And the Rav Chaim of Friedberg wrote a sefer called Vikuach Mayim Chaim. Vikuach Mayim Chaim. Which means the polemic of Mayim Chaim. And it was targeted against the Ramah. The Ramah wrote a sefer, Teres Chatos, which is his principal sefer on Issa V'Heter, and the Ramah did a few things that the Rav Chaim was upset with, besides the fact that he wrote a kitzur of halachas. So he targeted it, and he wrote a sefer Vikuach Mayim Chaim. The sefer wasn't published for 137 years. It was lost. It was found in Tofayim Beis. Ironically, the two people that give haskamas to the sefer in Tofayim Beis were two people that fought with each other worse than I think anybody ever fought in Klal Yisrael. I don't know if they're known to everybody, but it was Rav Moshe Chagiz and Rav Shlomo Eilon. Rav Moshe Chagiz wrote a sefer against Rav Shlomo Eilon, a very strong, scathing sefer. So it's so interesting that in this sefer, in Tofayim Beis, when it's finally discovered, the two maskimim are Rav Moshe Chagiz and Rav Shlomo Eilon. But what is interesting and unique is that they published the 13 Ikrim. 13 Ikrim is the Akdama of Rav Chaim, of why he decided to go out against the Ramah. And he talks about a guy who's owns a big supermarket and has a lot of potatoes and a lot of vegetables and a lot of... He doesn't have meat necessarily, but he's a successful guy. And Lo Masay, there's a Kabtzin who goes collecting, and he collects a piece of meat and a piece of chicken and a piece of potato and a piece of vegetable. And you look in his bag and you say, wow, the kaptan has everything. The supermarket guy doesn't have meat. The kaptan is much more choshev l'chayra. He says, that's what the Ramah is like. This is a very hard thing to say. That's what the Ramah is like. The Ramah is sort of like a kaptan. I don't think he means the Ramah. I think what he means is that's what he's doing to Klal Yisrael. He's turning them into kaptanim, a potato, a piece of parsley, meat. You don't have anything. You have only shtiklach. He then says, even though the Ramah addresses it, but he's very aggravated, he says the Ramah has kulis, which are very strange. The Ramah is mekel behefsid merubah. You know what hefsid merubah is?
Hefsek Merubah is if you have a shayla on the cow, and there's a blemish on the lung, and some place from a mekel, some place from a machmer. The Ramah says if it's Hefsek Merubah, we could be mekel. What's Hefsek Merubah? So one time I asked Reb Shlomo Zalman Brown, who wrote the Sharm Mitzuyonim Ba'alacha, he told me, if you want to know what Hefsek Merubah is, come with your bank book and I'll tell you. I have to know how much money you have in your account in order to say that. That means, what he was trying to say is that the Paskin Hefsek Merubah, a Rav has to know what's doing in Bayanim's house. A Rav has to be somewhat involved. The Psak of Hefsek Merubah is not just available always. Not everybody holds like that. There are specific yardsticks that the Kaf HaChaim brings down in Siman Lamed Aleph, how to do Hefsek Merubah just as a bicycle who knows nobody. But Hefsek Merubah is an interesting psak. Is the halacha like this or not? Why should any loss, the chlal, be a mitigating circumstance in a psak? He paskins that Erev Yontif you could be mekel, Erev Shabbos you could be mekel, B'makom Orchim you have a lot of guests, and this will ruin the whole thing for the guests, you could be mekel. What kind of kula is this? This makes no sense. It's known that Aristotle once said, if a person is brought in because he stole, and he starts crying and says, but I have a lot of children who are starving, and I have a wife who's very abusive, and I needed to do this. My mental health was in tremendous jeopardy. And the judge cries and gives the guy his freedom. Justice wasn't served. This is not called justice, it's anarchy, it's chaos. So this is what the Bikuach Maim Chaim says over here also. This is not halacha, this is chaos. How could you be mekel and say Hefsek Merubah, Orchim, Yontif, Shabbos? Not Shayat, these are not real psakim. The Ramah understands this. The Ramah said in his Agdama, it's because Be'etzem we don't hold like the Chumrah. I'm telling you to be machmer. But when there's other circumstances, you don't have to be machmer. But this is not good for the Bikuach Maim Chaim. There's other tainus. He says you're going to... And this tainus is interesting. It's pretty much soiser. It's soiser, his original tainus. And I'll tell you something interesting. Tafai and Beza was published. It was sold out. It wasn't republished till Tuf Reish Yud Tes. That's many years later. It's 137 years later. It's 100 and change, large 100 years later, right? And the publishers see that it's something that should be published, and they go to Rabbi Yosef Shaul Nachmanson, who's the Rav in Lemberg, and they know he wrote on the Vikuach Maim Chaim, and they want to publish it with his Agoras. So he, in a very interesting, small, cryptic Agdama, writes, his Agoras are called Toiras Moshe. It's his grandfather, the Ramaz's grandfather. Rabbi Yosef Shaul Nebuch didn't have any children, and he wrote prolifically, and this is his grandfather, and he writes, he says, I prepared a lot of tshuvas to the Vikuach, and those I'll let you print, and he gives them, and then in Tofer Yishuv Tess, in the Lemberg of Vikuach Maim Chaim, those are printed, it's printed with the Toiras Moshe. I also, he says, prepared a very strong rebuttal to his Agdama, his Yud Gimel Ikrim, where Ashehiriv Espiv V'Diber Gedoilis Neged Adonis Keni Oramoz Echetzadim Kodesh Nebrocha. He opened up a mouth, Hiriv Piv V'Diber Gedoilis Asheloi Kados Neged. He's very strong against somebody who lived 300 years before him. But he's defending the Ramo. He says, he opened the mouth and spoke. He says, and I have long, strong tshuvas to neged this Vikuach Maim Chaim's Agdama. But I see that the Matfisim today in Lemberg are not going to publish the Agdama, so I won't publish my rebuttal. Let them both be forgotten. As he writes, they're both not necessary. Not the Agdama and not my rebuttal. This show was a tremendous honor. He says, not my Agdama, not the rebuttal. None of it is necessary. It was wrong to write it, and therefore there's no need for my rebuttal. But what's interesting to me is when you think about Ramah, Vikuach Maim Chaim, who's known today, whose psakim are the Amudei Apsak in every house, most people over here, most people didn't hear of the Vikuach Maim Chaim. So people, Chayvu Beis Svarim, heard of it. And in fact, this Agdama
These Yud Gimel Ikrim were published once again in the Tovshin Hay by somebody named Chaim Chernovitz in the book called Talmud HaPoskim. It was never published again in the Sefer. It's considered unacceptable because the Ramos Psak in his understanding of Hefsid Meruba, Tzarech Yontif, Orchim, did somewhat infiltrate and became a chalik of the way we look at Psak. And just to round it out, I want to just share with you one more beer in the Gemara, and then we'll go into a discussion a little bit about Mamzerim. Probably the most famous Gemara in Shas, in my understanding, is the Gemara in Brochus, where the Gemara brings down that Maisa B'Talmid Echad, it's a Shebol Lefnei Rav Yeshua, and he asked him, he said, Tfilas Arvis Rishus Echayim, Omaloi Rishus. Talmud comes, asks him, the Talmud happens to be Rav Shimon ben Yochai. It's a very modern thing what the Talmud does. But the Gemara identifies him. The last thing the Gemara does at the end of this very, I would say, turbulent Gemara is identify Oysa Talmud Rav Shimon ben Yochai. He comes in front of Rav Yeshua, he says, Tfilas Arvis Rishus Eichoyva. Rav Yeshua says Rishus. So it says, Bolifnei Rav Gamliel. He's not happy with that answer. He comes to Rav Gamliel, he says, Tfilas Arvis Rishusay Chayva. Rav Gamliel says Chayva. Valei Rav Yeshua Amali Rishus. Rav Yeshua told me Rishus. So he's already, it's like a. So Rav Gamliel says, Hamtei Nachi Yikonsum Lefoneinu Balei Trisin. Wait till the people that hold the shields come in. What's a Balei Trisin? It's not a very frequent lashon in Shas. Balei Trisin is probably the people that hold a shield and don't allow any hischachus, kedushin. Wait till they come in and we'll have a discussion. Keshenichnisu balei trisin. So Amad, so Rav Gamliel asked, Amad Ashoel b'shoah. Again, the question, this is Rav Shimon ben Yochai, he asks it publicly, he says, Tfilas Arvis, Rishus Eichoyva. So Amar Rav Gamliel, Choyva. He says, it's a Choyva. Klum Yesh Echad. He says, not like me. So Rabbi Yeshua says, no, it's a choyva. So Amalei Rav Gamliel, Balei Mishmecha Amru Li Rishus. Why are you saying now choyva? They told me a little while ago that you said it's Rishus. Rabbi Yeshua standing, Rabbi Gamliel sitting, very uncomfortable, very big crowd, a crowd of elite, selected people. Nobody was able to get into this Beis Medrash. This was brisk on steroids. And you have over here Rav Gamliel standing, Rav Gamliel sitting, Rav Yeshua standing. It's almost like an inquisition. Balei Mishmecha Amru Li Rishus. He says, Ilmolei Ata Meis Vani Chai. If you were dead and I was alive, Yechoyel Ni Lahakish. I could deny it. But Achshav Sha'ato Chai Vani Chai. We're both alive. Ein Achai Yochel Lahakish Es Achai. I said it. Balei Rav Gamliel, Yoyshe V'dayrish, Rav Yeshua Oymed Al Ragov. That was the punishment. He had him stand there. He didn't allow him to sit. It was a public humiliation, and the yeshiva couldn't take it anymore. This was a higdish asa'ah. Acherinu wa'om l'Rav Chutzpah Sametorgman. They told Rav Chutzpah, who was the mic in those days. They didn't have a mic. They had somebody who was able to say over the words of the Nasi, loud, clear, with maybe a Yisofas Tavlin. They told Rav Chutzpah Sametorgman, stop. We can't have this. We can't continue like this. And there was chaos. There was anarchy. They decided to demote Rav Gamliel. That was the day that they took him down from his Messias. It was very tragic for Rav Gamliel. There was a discussion who to make the Nasi. Should it be Rav Yeshua? No, he's the Baal Maaseh. Should it be Rav Akiva? He has no Schus Avos. They established that it's Rav Elezer ben Azariah because he's Asir Ezra. He's got Schus Avos. He was also an Asher. He was very capable. He was young. So the Rabbanu Shlom stepped in, made a nest, and he said, Arei ani kiven shivim shana. He grew locks of long hair, long white hair. The Gemara tells us that that day, Oysa Yoyim, the Gemara tells us at that point that the distance between Rav Gamliel and the desire of the Chachmei Yisrael was very far. Rav Gamliel's yeshiva was elite, and there was a secure entry post that didn't allow anybody in. Rav Gamliel, Oimer, Kol She'en Teichei Kibara Al Yikones. You can't get in if you don't have your inside like your outside. Now would anybody know that? That would probably be a complicated test. So that day, they opened the doors. It's a machlekes, how many benches? But there were carpenters building 24-hour benches to allow people to sit and to make room and shtenders and tables for the new Talmidim that wanted to come. Rav Gamliel didn't allow them to come. There was a hismatus of Torah. Rav Gamliel started feeling a chalishus. He says, Dilma chas v'shalom, I was memaya Torah from Klal Yisrael. They showed him at night a dream of chatz v'chivari d'mali uchmi, kitmi. They showed him a dream of white barrels that are full of dirty ash. It means these people don't belong here. And the Gemara says, v'loidi. The dream was wrong. Ahili yisuve daite. It was just to make him feel good. Maybe to give him an ability to come to his new understanding or come to the new reality. The Gemara says the dream was not an innocent dream. V'loidi. Rav Gamliel, according to Chazal, according to this Gemara, the halacha was not like him. This restrictive position, this inability of other people to come in was not correct. The halacha was to have the 800 benches. And Oysayim, they learned idiots. A whole Masechta and Shas was added because all the people that came and knew things and were able to testify and bring their dinim in front of Chachamim, it was added. Baita, another proof that halacha was not like Rav Gamliel. Taka was miut Torah. Without this Maisa, we wouldn't have Masechta. Oysayon ba Yehuda Gera Moini. He came in front of them and he asked, Ani ma, Ani love bekal. I want to marry a Jewish woman. Rav Gamliel says, No, I'm an Umayyav. You can't. Rav Yishua says, Yes. Ali Bilbulam Sancheirev. Sancheirev already mixed everybody up. Rav Gamliel says, But they were brought back. Rav Yishua says, No. If you're referring to the pasuk that says they were brought back, Klal Yisrael is also supposed to be brought back, and we weren't brought back. So they paskin not like Rav Gamliel again, one after the other. Rav Gamliel loses one after the other. But Rav Gamliel says to himself, since he sees that the halacha is not like him, he wants to go and ask machila from Rabbi Yeshua. So he comes into Rabbi Yeshua's house. This is the first time he visited Rabbi Yeshua in the history of their knowledge of each other. He saw the walls of his house were all black. So he says, I just deduced from the walls of your house, it seems that you're a blacksmith. Shreklach, he says, I didn't know that you're so poor. I didn't know you struggle for parnasa like that. And he's asking him for mechila. He's coming to try to somehow humble himself in front of Rav Yeshua. And Rav Yeshua says, with tremendous bitterness, he says, Oy loy ledor sha'ata parnasa. Woe to a generation that you're its manik. She'ein ata yedeya b'tzaron shal talmid ha'chachamim. You have no asoga, you don't know what the tzar of a talmid chacham is like. She'ein ata yedeya b'meim misparnasim. You don't know what they have to work for in terms of getting parnosa. You don't know if their checks are late. You don't know what their grocery bill is like. You know nothing. You have to understand, what's Rabbi Yeshua so upset about? Why is Rabbi Yeshua so upset? And Rabbi Gamliel says to him, okay, I got it. Did I not have enough? Everything I did was completely dismantled now. This is like a Trump presidency after Obama. It was completely dismantled. Everything is over. There's people all over the Beis Medrash. There's Gerim coming in from all over. Be mindful of me. Le'ashtach. He doesn't look at him. He doesn't want to. Until he finally says, Aseh bishvil kvod beis abba. Okay, he says, I'll be mindful. What's the conversation? I'm suggesting. I'm suggesting like this. Koyim kol is tefilas arvus rishus achayva. Most people think tefilas arvus is a chayva. It's not. It's a rishus. No, vash the rishonim mamaz. It's a rishus keneged the chayva. Klape that means, and the places that tefilas arvus rishus manifests itself is you find that we say yiruaynenu. That's a big division between geula and tefila, like tefilas arvus. You find you can klap yala v'yavayu between yiruaynenu and Shemayin Esrei. You don't need to, we don't say a Chazaras HaShatz.
We don't do a Nefila Sapayim. I forgot the others, but there's about six Oichochas, the Tefila Sa'arvis is Arishas. We passed it, it's Arishas. Now, what I suggested was that when you think about it, olden days, people that worked very, very close to the daylight. They were up at the crack of dawn, they davened, they maybe gobbled some food, went to work. The time was very important because daylight is money. When they come home with the few dimdumei chama, it's mincha, it's supper, a little bit of connection to the kids, and then it's sleep. There's nothing you could do in a night that's pitch black. There's no candles, they're poor people. There's certainly no lights. Edison is not around. Minyanim are going to be very hard to have, right? Because they live in Derech Halach. You see, all the different takanas say it longer so that people shouldn't be remaining in the shul alone. So Yeshua, who's a Pchami, who knows the temperament of people, understands Tfilas Arvis Rishus, understands the Kriyas HaChazal was the Mitzvah Rishus. Rav Gamliel, it would be shayach to say, doesn't understand. He's in the Nasi's house, always with people lit up completely. 10 o'clock at night is like 10 o'clock daytime. There's b'chlal no understanding of the Koivet of Klal Yisrael. He might be able to say Choiva. And it's maybe understandable that Rabbi Yeshua might have that tzvi on him. And when he comes into Rabbi Yeshua's house and he drives the point home and he says, Mikoyis lei beisach ata nikash l'chami ata, Rabbi Yeshua says, Givalt. How are you Koivea Halachas? How are you the one that establishes what's what and how Halacha should be? If you don't understand the people, and you Bechlal not I'll give a Dugma. Maybe it's not nice to say it, but just 10, 15 years ago, a bunch of Askonim, I think it was in Flatbush Borough Park, that area, got together and they made up that every Chasana should have 400 people, no more. It should be a one-man band. It should be plastic flowers. It should be scaled down completely. Unless, of course, you're a Rosh Hashiva, a Rebbe, a Rav, a Dayan, a Oisik, and you have many more friends than 400. So then you have an exception. They didn't take into consideration all the different pitchifkis and all the different people whose industries they would be killing. Musicians, florists, caterers. And the taka didn't work. It didn't work. Now, recently, what happened was there's an organic movement where people understand that they can't afford chasanis, and they make takana weddings. They encourage you. You want to do it this night? Then you get the scaled-down price, and you're able to get XYZ for nothing, ABC for a reduced rate. That's an unbelievable thing. Nobody's forcing anybody. There's no takanas. There's an understanding now of the temperament of the Aniyei Om. It's done with Derech Eretz. It's done with... It's a tremendous Kiddush Hashem. It's a very big Zchus v'Klal Yisrael. Takanas, without understanding the nature, the Nusach, the need of Klal Yisrael, just to make a takana, because there's a need. Nobody's saying there's no need. There is a need. But takanas, without understanding the underlying nefesh of the people you're being misakin for, they're not hilo sitznach. And beyomenu, you see a little bit of an example of that. And could be that's what Rabbi Shua was complaining to Rav Gamliel. He was saying, what's shayach for you to be the Nasi? And Rav Gamliel says, okay, beis ava, there's a hemshach. I could learn. And Taka, you see something interesting. You see that the last thing Rav Gamliel did before he passed on was he made a correction for the Pchuseyam. Burial was the most prohibitive cost that a Jew had to face when he was taking care of their loved one. Because they used to buy the most expensive tachlichim. Ad kidekach, the Gemara Ma'ikot tells us that there were those that would leave the bodies of their loved ones in the forests and woods. They should get eaten and mauled quickly so nobody should recognize them. So it shouldn't look like a bizoyin. Where's the body? I don't know. Rav Gamliel was mitzavah when he died that they should take him out with clay pishta. Simple tachrichim, which we adayim hemutim v'ayim today, which we keep today. Simple tachrichim, cheap tachrichim. This is Rav Gamliel's takana. It's machan leich for all the underdogs. And this might have been the lesson of Rabbi Yeshua. Now, There's a lot of practical examples of how halacha develops sometimes in a way that takes into consideration the people that are nirdafim and the people that are... I wanted to talk a little bit about mamzer. You know that there's a din in Shulchan Aruch. It's a din in Shulchan Aruch. Taz brings it down in Reis Samachimah. If a mamzer has a bris, they don't make the bris in the bris medrash. They make it outside in the anteroom. They don't say kayim esayelad azeh la'aviv u'le'imoy, because we don't want him to live. We'd like him to die as quick as he can. We also call him a very bizarre name. There's selected names that he's called. He's called Kidur. It's a pasuk in Azim. Kidur tapuch esema. It's an overturned dur. And that's what a mamzer is. It's an overturned outcome. Kidur. Sefer called Kairos Abris expanded it and said, even when you know you're a Rav, you're a Rosh HaKol, and you know somebody who was born of illicit union, the baby should be named with a special name, like Isser and Zundel. Unbelievable. I don't think anybody was Mekayim that. That's why you know that this is Almond Meltzer of Zundel Misalant, right? Mm-hmm. I don't think anybody was Mekayim that Kairos Abris is... But this is a Teinach when a mamzer is created out of people that Bishat Nefesh don't care about halacha. But what about when a mamzer happens never through a psak that was wrong and the husband comes back? And we'll talk about how that happens. So also Kidur, also he should die. Also, and you should know there's a pasuk, I think this is the Pshat in the pasuk, but there's a pasuk in Kehelis. Shlomo HaMelech was, he plumbed the depths of emotions, he plumbed the depths of happiness, sadness, fortune, misfortune. So he writes like this, he writes a passage, he says, V'shavti ani ve'era. I sat and I looked, I analyzed. Esa ashukim asher nasim tachas ha-shamash. Esa ashukim, the robbed ones, esa ashukim. Who be, if somebody is a, if anybody was ever robbed, or if anybody was ever hit, had an accident, there's the guy, there's the accident guy, there's the robbed one. Always he's going to be identified as the robbed one. The Lashon is a funny Lashon. The Shavti Ani Ve'ere Es Ashukim, the robbed one, Asher Nasim, will become robbed ones, Tachat HaShemesh. It's a very modernist, it's a modernist structure. And he continues, and he says, "V'hine dimas ha'ashukim, the tears of these robbed ones, v'ein lahem menachem, and there's no consolation." He says, "Umiyad ishkeyem koyach," and the robbers took their strength away. Also, the robbers took everything away from them. V'ein lahem menachem. What kind of meaning does this pasuk have? Bechlau, who ever gets identified by the tragedy that happens to him? You know, sometimes you call an almana. An almana, it's understandable. That is the defining tragedy. She's now alone. But as somebody said, I'm not a gorush. I divorced my first three wives. I'm not a gorush. I'm a megarish. I'm shayach to shidduchim. I'm not a gorush. I'm a megarish. What's ashukim? Ashukim over here is a very strange thing. If anything, we would tell a guy, get a therapist. Stop calling yourself robbed one. Why are you the robbed one? Forever you're the robbed one. So the Medrash says, Rev Daniel Chaita Posar, and I think the word Posar is used very, very realistically over here. I think he was bothered by this kasha. He says, Rev Daniel Chaita was poised in this posar, that it's mamzeri. Haresha ba'ala erava v'hoylid mamzer. Ze ma'osa v'ze ma'ichbasle. It's the eternal tragedy of mamzer over here. The guy who did the aveira, what does he care? He did it b'shat nefesh. He doesn't care. And the child who's going to be the subject, who's going to be the mamzer, ma'asa, what did he do? This is dimas ha'ashukim. When you think of the depth of sorrow, and you think of what could be the lowest of the low of pain, this is it. Ashukim is mamzer. That's what the Medrash says. The Medrash, right in the beginning of Perek Dalet. Dimas ha'ashukim is a guy who did nothing and will suffer the stigma forever and ever. And the Medrash continues, And that's why a Mamzer Talmud Chacham is much better than a Kohen Gadol Am Haaretz. And another very interesting, so just Zelu Mazeh, I'm pointing out that Mitzad Echad, there is a Maril that's brought down La Halacha. There is a Tshuva and Bezera Emes, Rabbi Shmuel HaKohen Mimodina, who talked about a woman that was loose and gave birth to a Mamzer. And once the Rabbanim decided that the child's a Mamzer, she was going to move. And the question was, how do we identify this child and inform everybody that this child is a problem to come into Klal Yisrael? So he comes up with a novel idea to make a little mem in his forehead, a tattoo. And when people look at him, they'll ask, what is that? This is before Uncle Moshe. To make a little mem in his forehead. It's a pellet lebron. This is a pshayis kaka with a letter on a child, and it stays like this forever. And this he's comfortable with. And not to leave out. There's also chasam sefer in chelik vav simin memtes. Chasam sefer was sued. It's an interesting thing. There was a couple. She got married. A woman got married bishat nefesh. It was a mamzer. I forgot what the exact yichus was. It was a mamzer, and she found a rav who happened to have been the chasam sofer's talmid. It was misad kedushin. Hirsh Marcus, and the chasam sofer said, "Listen, I'm being machriz that the three children that came out of this marriage are mamzerim. I want everybody to know about it. I want it to be spread all over the Mamzerim. I want this not to be forgotten." And here Shmarkis, Shem Rishon Yirkav, should never do Siddur Kiddushin again. And the Fishgal, that was the official's name. The Fishgal is the official. I don't know what language it's from. He called on the Chasam Sofer to be Miyash of what he's doing. Why are you being right with people like this? And the Chasam Sofer writes in, that this is our halachas, this is how we're supposed to act. We have a code of what's acceptable, what isn't acceptable, and they, the Shaat Nefesh, violated, and we're just treating them according to our halachas, to how it has to be done. And you shouldn't have any faribul from us, this is how it's supposed to be. And there was an acceptable answer. But the Chasam Sofer says, to be mefarsim them, nobody should ever do a bris on their children. And Sofer Shalmaisa, this whole family became apostatized. They went off and they became goyim. No one knows of them because this was too hard to bear. And the emes is, as we'll say, the halacha is really not like this psak to be roid of them. In fact, mishpacha shenigmar nigmar. What's not known is not known. Ad kidekach, that there are shittas that hold that if you're a yachid that knows the history of a certain family, and there's an invitation hanging on your shul wall, and you know that it's a mamzer, you're not supposed to say anything. Mishpacha shenigmar nigmar. Ad kidekach the chaznish might hold that you're allowed to marry them yourself, because it's nigmar, your idea is nothing. It's nigmar, it's already mixed in. That is a mechanism of being matara, these mamzer. And just to, I would say, be mamfeshit a little bit, Koyden called is a tshuva from Rav Chaim Palachi in Chelik, in Chaim Bayad, tshuva ayin, who negates all these psakim, says not to call names to imams, it's not his fault, it's al bonas pun of barabim, and I believe that's why no one does it. We never heard of kidar, we never heard of zundel or isser, other than by chashuvei chashuvim, and we never heard of being mal somebody outside of the Beis Medrash, questionable, not questionable. I believe that Rav Chaim Palachi's tshuva is probably the dominant tshuva, who says that you can't be malbim chaver b'rabim, and he's aware of all the different gedolei Ashkenaz who said what they said, and he says, "Ani lo kein amdi." Furthermore, there, just to point this out a little bit before I tell you the Chalkas Yankee, there was a very interesting story that occurred in Hungary. was in the time of the Machne Chaim. Machne Chaim was a rav in one of the Hungarian cities of Chaim Sofer. And it seems that three or four men were outside in the forest and they were talking and they hear noises. This is Hungary 150 years ago. They're assuming right away it's Shagan. And they see some rummaging in a pillow or in a blanket. And one of them says, we have to do something. They're screaming. And he stabs it with a knife. One of the Chassidish Yidin stabbed it with a knife. And all of a sudden a woman comes out, not proper, and she says, thank you so much. I was in the grips of a shed. This was a shed. He would take me always into the woods, and he would do kol davar aser, and it seems that there were even kids possibly from this. And thank you, you killed him. Now I'm okay. And these four men believed her. She looked credible. And the Shaila came to the Machne Chaim, and he wrote a simple tshuva, based on the Tshuvas Maram Lublin, Nivala Lashed. It's not considered mamzerus. It's not considered a breach of Isha Kutisto Mal Amal. And everything's all right. It goes back. Did he believe her? Did he not believe her? There's a family that comes from this. Yoidei Gavra know even the name of the family. I don't. In the books and in the world of history, it's called the Chitcher Mishpacha. Now, what I did see, which is very interesting to me, was a tshuva from a sefer called Chaye Osher, also a Hungarian person. And somebody, years later, wanted to be mevatel a shidduch because he found out that the mishudduch, his new son-in-law, comes from that family, and they weren't megale. He didn't tell him that. And he says, chas v'sholom. He says, this is it, it's mutter. If one of the gedolei ador said it's mutter, there's a psak that was machzer it, what are you coming and being an oibachachim? To be mevatel the shidduch, pay them tremendous amounts of money to be mevatel the shidduch. And even today, there's a poisek who lived recently, Rav Nosson Gestetner, in the Sefer L'Hiras Nosson, he brings down Marocha Mu Marocha, who sided with the Machne Chaim, who didn't, and he, Kedarka, is machlet. If it was nifsak like this, lahatir, it was, in my understanding, now again, this is, I could be wrong, and I'm saying it with hystigus. I would assume the Machne Chaim believed that it might have even been a manza. I would assume that, but we look to be machsha these people. We look very strongly to me, and I believe that the Chayosha and the Lawyer Smasan and the Darki Tshuva, all the different people that brought these psalms down, understand that there could have been a problem over here. They're not naive to the situation, they understand it. But they understand the Gemara, Mishpachas and Nitma Nitma. They understand that Nitma is a psak that's matir, and it's a psak that's there for these ashukim, like Rav Hanina Chaita says, like Rav Daniel Chaita says, Zema Asa v'Zema Ichbaslei. This is the height of ashuk. Not everybody agrees with this position. The Rav Menashe Klein, in his Mishnah Halacha, says very strongly, says, just like genetic diseases create genetic problems, this is a spiritual genetic disease. It creates genetic problems. There's nothing you can do about it. The thing is like this, is that the Chelkis Yankiv was asked, and he had a machlokes with his mechutin, the Minchas Yitzchak, he was asked a question like this. In Hungary in 1950, after most of Hungary was wiped out, and people came back, and they were looking for Shivrei Kalim to settle down and to marry and have families, young people. And they assumed, and maybe they even got psukim from Rabbanim that were local, that their spouses were already not here. So they married whoever came and they settled. They had one, two, three kids. And then all of a sudden their spouse comes. This was not one, two, three. This was many. It was a very big tragedy. So it was upgiret, he gets a chup right away, there's no problem, you know, a mistake, these are all Yireim, Mishleimim, these Chassidish Yidin, a get for sure, they don't go back to their original, okay, fine, but what to do with the kids? What to do with the kids? So the Chalkes Yankiv muches, he tries to figure out what to do with these four kids, not one, not two. He says, should we allow them to marry non-Jews? if you allow them to marry non-Jews, it works out, because let's say Yankel, the mamzer, will marry a non-Jew, he'll have whatever amount the children will have, then he'll be megayer them, and he'll have a kosher mishpacha. He says, it's a problem, we can't allow a mamzer to violate lois hischatim. It's a nisa, we can't allow it. But he says even more than that, even if I'd be matziah a heter, who's to tell you that everybody's going to convert? It's not going to happen. All he's going to do is going to have a mishpacha that's not Jewish. You're not helping him. Should we tell him not to have children, to just allow his lineage to die out? It's not fair, it's not right. Le'soyabra, not only le'soyabra, he says the whole concept, it's not fair, it's not right. Person needs an eitz. So he says he's going to go to the Eitzah, which is brought down in the Gemara in Kedushin of Samachtes. It's a Mishnah of Tarfon, says, Yechol mi mitar mamzer. I know how to be mitar mamzer. And the Shulchan Aruch paskins in Ebenezer Dalim, Sifchof, that this psak is lechatchila. Let a mamzer, male, marry a shifcha. What's a shifcha? A shifcha is a woman that wasn't Jewish, that was nitbal b'shifchus. The Mishnah previously says that her children are her children. They're not misyachas to the male. They're misyachas to her. They're avodim. When there's a shichror, when the other releases them, and that is biyodai, he's going to own his wife. He's going to own her as a shifcha. Release her and the children. They're all full-fledged Yehudim without any question on their title. And it's lechatchila. The Gemara occurs, but the Eved lechatchila. The Gemara says lechatchila. The Shaila is, one second, how could a mamzer marry a shifcha? Is it not an issa? The Rishonim is. It's a machlokes. It's the Rambam and Rabbeinu Tam. We figure out a head. We figure out a way. It's a gevaldige eitza for men mamzerim. It doesn't work for women. It's brought down in Shulchan Aruch for male mamzerim. It doesn't work. A female mamzer still dimas ha'ashukim asha'ein la menachem. U'miyad eshkeim koyach. Ve'ein la menachem. There's nothing you can do. And it's tragic. Now, the problem that he says is, one second. He says, I'm willing to do this. He ends up doing this, by the way. He supports this heter. And he fights his mechutin who doesn't support him. He supports this heter. And from what I understand, I think it is used in certain circumstances. Here's the problem. The problem is like this, is that Dina de Malchus Adina. And there is no such thing as chattel today. There is no such thing as slavery. The last country that outlawed slavery was the Sudan in 2005. So you cannot have a slave. Dina de Malchus Adina. So how could you have a shifcha? He's writing in the 50s, there was still places that had slavery, but where he was and wherever it was that was considered Medinas Ne'oiris, enlightened civilized places, there was no slavery. How could you have a shifcha? And the emesis, this shaila was discussed years ago, the Zalocha, regarding Pidyon Shvuyim. Ein Pidyon es HaShvuyim Yesim Mechadei Demein. It's brought down in the Mishnah in Gittin, it's brought down in Yeridei Rishon Beis. Ein Pidyon es HaShvuyim Yesim Mechadei Demein. What is kedei demein? What is kedei demein? It means when somebody gets captured, it's not talking about Rubashkin and situations like what we have. Those are extra legal. Those you could spend as much money as you need to. But it's talking about a shavui. A guy gets captured. And he's going to be sold. He's going to be, ain't poigim is a shvuyim yesim of kedei demein. You don't spend more than their value. What is their value? Lawyers know how to establish value. They take an arm of a 40-year-old versus an arm of a 60-year-old, an arm of an 80-year-old, a colon, a kidney. They know how to evaluate body parts. Is that what we mean over here? According to some place, yeah, that's what we mean. According to the Shlush Yankiv, find the place that still works with slavery, and that's the value. When slavery runs out, figure out what it would be if there would be slavery. You need an actuary with a good table. So that's legabe hilchis tzedakah. You need to somehow mimic slavery. But when the malchuyis, everybody collectively says no slavery, how's it shaykh to have a shivcha over here? And he says like this, he says, so you'll tell me the malchut, he says, during the time of the Ger Tzedek, Avram ben Avram, He says, the Malfa said no gerim. And in fact, Avram Potocki was killed brutally by the state because the Malfas in Poland didn't allow gerim. Was his gerus an invalid gerus because the Malfas didn't allow gerus? He says, of course not. They don't have a right to be kaveya what the dinim are by us. But they do have a right to be kaveya how they want to approach civility and society. And we have to follow that. It's negeya them. And abdus and shiflis and slavery and the right to contract. This is negeya them. This is legal concepts. We are obligated to follow that. And the truth is, it's negeya Hilcha Shabbos. It's negeya other places. In Hilcha Shabbos, there's a halacha. It's a pasuk. The man yenuach, bincha, butecha, abdecha, amosecha, gerecha, shabsherecha, right? Abdecha, amosecha, yenuach. They can't do malacha for you. Let's say you have a living maid. Could she do malacha for you? Yes, she could. She could. A living maid can't do malacha. You ever hear anybody that has a living maid and says today is Shabbos? Don't do anything? It's a big chumrah.
Not chayav to do that. You can't ask them.
You can't, that's Amira Lenochri, but let's say she has her things that she does on her own. That means, Leman Yenuach is pshat, that she has to treat Shabbos the way you treat Shabbos. She can't carry, she's leaving, she's taking a day off. Don't carry, it's Shabbos. What do you mean? I'm Esmeralda, I can do what I want. No. So the emesis is the machlekes between the Rashdam and the Mabit, whether there is Shaykh Avdus B'Yomeinu in order to trigger the din of Leman Yenuach. It's not so far. The Mogen Avraham brings down to study. The Mishnah Berurah says, if you're paying the taxes and you own her, and she's sort of indentured to you, something that was available in Poland at that time, then she is your Amma. And he throws in something, the Mishnah Berurah in Shindal, he says, and certainly for Shivcha and Mamzer, she's a Shivcha. Mishnah Berurah already wrote this. It means he was sort of Machriya. Certainly for Shivcha and Mamzer, she's a Shivcha. But she might be also problematic in Leman Yenuach. There's a din of Avodin, whether they're allowed a shecht. It's brought down in the Beis Hillel. It's brought down in later Paiskim. You see, this din was nidored by some of the later Paiskim. Is an Eved allowed a shecht? Now, what happens over here is the Chalkes Yankit goes through the Heter of Shekho, which he wants to be mine. He goes through Dina de Malchusa, which has many shittas beyond the scope of this talk. It has many shittas where Dina de Malchusa is applicable for Karka, for Shtoris, for... there's another sub-machlekes between the Ramah and the Shach. The Ramah holds Dina de Malchusa is applicable to anything that the government wants to do that affects them, even if it indirectly affects Torah, like marital laws and different things like that. And the Shach vehemently disagrees. He says, nothing they do can affect our Torah. This is a Shach and someone said the Gimel. Nothing they do can affect our Torah. So the Chalkes Yankov says, according to the Shach, their banning Shiftus affects our Torah. We're not going to allow them to ban this opportunity and vehicle from us. And he uses the Shach together with the Beis Shmuel that holds Vim the Malchus is only a Rabbanan. And he cultivates a Het. He also brings down a very nice Knesset Sagdoila, who's made that the Arizal was part of a beautiful chasana where a mamzer married a shifcha and said a shtikel Torah about shifcha and mamzer. And it was a very nice chasana. The Minchas Yitzchak complains and says two things. Harama, you're fooling. It's like a het to Mechiras Chometz. It's like a het to Mechiras Shvi. It's like a het to Iska. Things we use. But he's complaining. He says, this is Harama. And then he says, and you know what? You're giving people opportunities and vehicles to get out of serious collateral damage if they're going to do Issa. I'm not so comfortable with it. And the Chalkes Yankov writes what I would consider the most important statement in his tshuva, in the second tshuva. He says, we spend so much time fixing the agunis and helping them because we understand the pain. What about these people? Aroma? He says, it's not aroma. This is real. Everybody knows what they're getting into. And you're worried about Zaytik et Akonis? He says, Mi'itin, and you'll put all the energy that we put into making takanas, rather to fixing these people and giving them a way out. And that's what he leaves with. He's very interested in giving them a way out. And the emes is, it looks a little bit from collecting tshuvas and from different situations, that this is the gishas of Pesach. The halacha did, on some level, I would say the word evolve, but I'm using it very, very guarded. The halacha did evolve from what I would say the Maril's Mila outside. Don't say Kayim, say Elad as a love of Elohim. Start calling even Avaryonim, Isser and Zundel, to where we look to somehow forget it, sneak it in, to be Mavliyah B'ne'im and Beina Echabach Yosef. Thank you very much.